This is Colorado Matters on KCFR. I'm Ryan Warner. It used to be that if you had a job, chances were you had decent health coverage. But that's not true anymore. In Colorado, 70% of the people who lack health insurance have a job. Employers in this state say they're struggling to provide insurance as premiums soar. Between 2000 and 2004, the cost of health insurance in Colorado rose by 50%. According to the Economic Policy Institute in Washington, D.C., workers are paying a bigger portion of their health coverage than a decade ago. And more companies are deciding not to offer insurance at all. Smaller companies, which make up a majority of the employers in Colorado, have an especially hard time because they lack the bargaining power of big companies.
Small business feels like they are under attack today.
Tony Gagliardi is the Colorado director of the National Federation of Independent Business, or NFIB. He says small business owners in the state have a universal complaint.
I know I hear from members all the time in just general conversation. Doesn't matter who the member is or what type of business, we're always going to come around to what their health care premiums have increased, and it's anywhere from 20 to 40% on a consistent basis.
That's 20 to 40% each year. Now, as a way to avoid the high costs, businesses have turned to bare-bones plans, which cover less but cost less, too. Yet Gagliardi says there are limits to how bare a plan can be. He says the state requires certain types of coverage. For example,
dealing with maternity, dealing with diabetes coverage, dealing with anesthesia for dental procedures for dependent children, and the list just goes on and on.
Gagliardi says some government regulation is necessary, but he says that increases costs, which employers pass on to workers. He says as a result, more workers are deciding to go without insurance, younger ones especially.
An 18 or a 23-year-old that simply believes they're invincible, they're single, they have no responsibilities. Why do they need to take a portion of their weekly pay and pay for their health care when they could have that money in their pocket? That's a decision more and more workers are having to make.
And that's contributing to the growing numbers of people who don't have health insurance, Gagliardi says. But he does offer some solutions. Regulators, he claims, need to allow more flexible benefit packages that cut costs. And, he says, new laws should allow small firms to pool together when purchasing health care plans. A new commission with members who represent small business will consider many of these issues. That commission is a product of a bill passed during the last session of the state legislature. Well, today, as part of our continuing series on the uninsured in Colorado, we're going to turn to business owners who say they struggle to afford and to provide insurance. Our guests are Ed Serkovnik, the owner of Breckenridge Brewery, a beer and restaurant company based in Denver. The company has about 400 workers during peak season and about 250 during the off-season. Also with us, Jim Noon, who owns Centennial Container, which makes boxes. That company has 11 employees. Jim, Ed, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Jim Noon, let's start with you. What are the difficulties, at least that you've faced, obtaining insurance as a small employer?
There's not really difficulty in obtaining it. It's affording it is the hard part. We've probably experienced 20 to 35, even a couple of 40% increases over the past 10 years. So it's available to us, and we have it, and we've had it the whole time. It's just expensive.
You say that you've seen lots of increases. Tell me your reaction to them over the years as you've seen it go higher and higher.
Well, I'm happy when it's only 20%, and I groan when it's 40%. But the thing that you have to remember is it's really not the business's money. It's not my money. It's really the employee's money, because if I wasn't spending this on their health insurance, they would have it in salary. So I'm the steward of their rising health care costs.
So as insurance premiums rise, there's a direct correlation between what you might also offer in terms of salary.
Yes. As a matter of fact, when we do employee reviews and raises and such, all that tax increases, work comp, and health care all come into play on this is your compensation package.
Ed Serkovnik, you have a larger group of employees, but what's your experience been in obtaining health insurance?
Little difficulty in obtaining insurance. Again, to echo Jim's comments, it's been affordability.
Tell me how that has evolved over the years.
Well, it's evolved in terms of annual increases that, frankly, are staggering. I think over the last 5-6 years, our cost per employee has risen cumulatively about 145-150%. We used 2000-2001, I think we paid about $132 per employee. We just renewed, and I think it came to about $352.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And do you echo what we just heard from Jim, and that is that because of what you're paying for health care, that affects what you're able to pay in terms of salary?
It does, and it also affects us in terms of our hiring, number of people we would hire, the types of benefit package that we would offer those new hires as well.
Which is to say that not all of your employees receive health insurance, and you may be turning to the employees that you don't have to insure?
That's exactly right. Of our 400-plus employees, some full, but a lot of them part-time, I believe that we insure about 50 of those 400.
Does this mean that because of the costs of providing benefits that you are more often going to part-time, non-salaried workers?
Yes.
Yes.
Particularly in that part of our business where they are full-time positions. The brewery side of our business is a brewery facility, so we primarily have full-time employees there. But again, we're very careful about when we hire and how we hire, and insurance weighs into that at each and every hiring decision.
Now, what happens if one of the workers who isn't on the health insurance gets sick?
Well, it's difficult. I think that's the crisis that all of us are talking about, that on the one hand, you can't afford it. On the other hand, most of those employees can't afford not to have it. And therein lies what I believe is a crisis in this country.
Is that crisis manifesting on your own workforce? Have you seen examples of employees getting into trouble because of the lack of health insurance?
Well, we tend to hire younger employees, particularly in our restaurants, you know, college-age kids, people who are full-time students, part-time employees. And I would describe them for the most part as great kids. But with most kids, they tend to work hard when they're working and they play hard when they're playing. And in a number of cases, particularly in our mountain stores in Breckenridge, we've had employees who have been skiing hard or snowboarding hard, whatever it is that they're doing, playing hard, basically, who have been involved in accidents. So they don't have the income that they were generating. They have basically no insurance, and it is hugely problematic for them financially, emotionally, and otherwise.
I understand you've actually held fundraisers for some of these employees.
We have. We've had a number of employees who have been hurt, not on the job, and we try to help them out in any way that we can. And one of the ways, in a couple of cases where they've had pretty serious problems, we've ended up having various and sundry types of fundraisers.
So that's become the safety net for some of these employees.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Jim Noonan, is the plan that you're offering now as good as comprehensive as the one you were able to offer 10 years ago? I mean, we've talked about costs, but not the quality of that coverage.
No, the plan has changed quite a bit. Back 10-plus years ago, I forget exactly when this changed, we offered full family coverage, 100% paid by the company. As time went on and it got more and more expensive, we dropped the children coverage, so they had to pay for their children out of a payroll deduction.
Any dependents, then we're up to them.
Then we went a little further along, and then we dropped the spouse dependent.
Ah.
So we still, right now, we pay 100% of the employee and zero of the spouse. We've tried to do two other things to cut cost. Probably the biggest is we also offer the HSA.
This is a health savings account.
Yes. The premium is a little less, so we take the difference in the amount of money, the savings of the premium, and we actually contribute that to the employee's HSA.
And the idea is to have a savings account with some tax incentives for the smaller to medium stuff, and then a high deductible insurance plan for the big stuff.
Yes.
And so more of your employees are opting for that?
It's about half and half right now. It's a little hard to get started because if you happen to have something go wrong first year, you haven't funded this enough and you're looking at $2,000 out of pocket. And you also have to manage this. I mean, we have some of our employees who don't even have checking accounts, so they're not necessarily as sophisticated as some, and they have trouble with managing the idea of this and don't really understand the tax ramifications in the big picture.
You mentioned HSAs being one trend. What was the other one?
The other thing was we alter the plan as much as possible to keep the price down as much as possible.
You're shopping around, in other words.
Yes.
And that must consume time and energy as well.
It's very time-consuming. Every year we're looking at all the different plans. And the other difference is we're also buying in the small group market if you have less than 50 employees, which we do. There are other mandates, and the insurance is a little bit different. Between the medical and we offer dental too, it's about $475 per month.
I wonder, Ed, if you are seeing the same trends. That is, for those employees you have who are covered, is the nature of the insurance what it was, say, a decade ago?
No, it's not. We've scaled down our plan over the years because of the affordability issue. I think it was the 2000-2001, we had, under our insurance plan, 100% coverage. We paid 100% of the employee's premium. And we, for one dependent coverage or spouse coverage, they had to pay a maximum of $100. For full family coverage, they had a maximum of $200
this
per
is
month.
A month, right.
Per
okay.
month, correct.
Okay. And that's not the case anymore.
It's not the case. Similarly to Jim's situation, we are now at the point where we pay 90% of the employee's premium and 0% of dependent coverage.
Jim Noon, what is your understanding about why it is difficult to find an affordable health care plan? I mean, what do you see as the factors here, especially as a small business owner?
Having personal ownership of your health care, it's not really a market situation. The example I like to use is if we had food insurance, where you paid a monthly premium and you could just go to the grocery store anytime you wanted and take out whatever you wanted. Well, first of all, they're not going to sell a lot of hot dogs that way. They're going to sell a lot of T-bones.
Yeah, and lobster. Right?
Yeah, lobster and okay. all the expensive stuff. We have the same sort of thing in healthcare, where if you just need to have, you know, a sinus infection, I need to get some amoxicillin because I have an infection, you don't necessarily need to go to an emergency room and have a $3,000 visit. You could see a nurse practitioner and do this for $40.
But you're saying an environment when you can walk into the $3,000 emergency room.
That's the easy thing to do.
Uh-huh. So do you ever have conversations with employees about here's how to use the system wisely, or do you feel like that's crossing a line you're not comfortable with?
No, actually, I do have that conversation.
You do?
It's up to them to listen. I can't force them to do anything, but we certainly have a dialogue. With only 11 employees, we know pretty much everybody's business.
With the skyrocketing rates that you have described, Ed Cerkovnik, is there a point at which this not only begins to affect salaries, what you can pay workers, but the cost of a good or a service? In other words, that $3 beer becomes $4 and that $6 salad becomes $7.
Absolutely. I only half jokingly say that every year when the insurance broker comes in, it seems like we have 10 days within which to come up with an answer as to what we're going to do for the year, which has obviously a huge impact on all of our employees. I often say that there's only so much that I can charge for a hamburger. There's only so much that I can charge for a beer. And, you know, I know my prices have not gone up 144, 150%, whatever the number is, over the last 6 years. And so, you know, what we experience is the margin erosion in our business that we focus on. But it also affects our employees on a day-to-day basis in terms of what we can do for them. And they are our greatest asset. And in a lot of respects, I think it's fair to say that the system has put us in a position where we can't do everything that we should be doing for our most valuable asset.
And Ed, if you could point to what you see as a flaw in the system or a place to improve, what would you point to?
How much time do we have?
Well, not much.
You know, I think you've got a lot of finger pointing in a lot of different directions. The end result is that I think we all suffer. As I understand it, you know, with the current system, no one is particularly happy, whether it's the health care providers, whether it's the consumers. And I think Jim's right. I think the system is fundamentally flawed. And depending upon one's perspective, you know, a lot of people on kind of on the Republican side of the aisle will point to, well, we need tort reform. People on the other side want to point to other factors, including, you know, kind of corporate greed. I don't know where the blame lies under the circumstances, though. It seems to me that it's incumbent upon us to come up with a solution so that we have a system that is not, in my view, as fundamentally flawed as this one seems to be.
Well, gentlemen, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Pleasure to be here.
Ed Cerkovnik is the owner of Breckenridge Brewery, based in Denver. Jim Noon owns Centennial Container, also based in Denver. Our conversation is part of a series on the uninsured in Colorado, and you can listen to other conversations in that series online at kcfr.org. I'm Ryan Warner, and this is Colorado Matters.